the Spirit of Medicine, the essays of family practice doctor and Mille Lacs Band member, Dr. Arnie Vainio.
It seemed like a simple enough question. Dr. Vainio, can you tell the story of how you became a doctor? I thought that would be a relatively straightforward story, but it isn't. Like anything else, this is bits and pieces and twists and turns and dead ends, and parts of it aren't even my story. The hope was this would be an inspirational story for kids and anyone else hoping to go down this path. When I was a boy, most other boys wanted to be firemen or astronauts. Truth be told, until I was 4 years old, my parents owned a bar called the Good Luck Tavern. The pulp truck drivers would stop in and drink beer, and one of them let me stand in his lap and drive a big truck loaded with logs across the bumpy dirt parking lot, and I was hooked. I wanted to be a truck driver. I wasn't an exceptional student in grade school or in high school, and I don't know that there were any great expectations of me from any of my teachers. I worked on a dairy farm in the 11th and 12th grade in high school, and I thought maybe that's where my fate lay. Then I played pool one night with a man with white hair, and he hired me on the spot to work construction, as there was really no one else available. He showed me the basic levers and principles behind running a backhoe and a bulldozer, and he left me working while he went to go argue with attorneys over some contract issues. That ended up as a job that would take me to multiple places in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Colorado, Montana, and North Dakota. I learned to read construction blueprints and to oversee subcontractors and turn in weekly progress reports to the Army Corps of Engineers. Eventually, I decided I needed to return to Minnesota, and I took a job cutting the limbs from jack pine trees with a chainsaw. That turned into running a skidder, dragging trees out of the woods so they could be loaded onto trucks. That was a great few years, and then I decided I wanted to learn to paint cars. I worked in a body shop for a year or so, and I ran a sandblaster taking the rust and paint off logging trucks and trailers, and I started to learn how to paint. I loved every minute of every single one of those jobs. During that time, I was in and out of college and didn't do very well at all. After my first two quarters, my grade point average was 0.00. I didn't pass a single course, and the university suspended me. Somewhere in there, Edwin Peterson died. I don't remember exactly when, in between all these jobs, but his death hit me hard. He was the uncle of my cousins and was maybe 70 or so when he died. He was constantly making homebrew in an old crock in his closet, and we made fish traps together, and his house was always a safe place to take a deer we might have shined at night, or to take a trap full of fish to clean out of season. He saw the humor in any situation, and his house was a good place to be. He was feeding his pigs one day, and there were people with him when he suddenly fell to the ground. He didn't have a phone, so someone had to drive a quarter mile to call the ambulance. This was a volunteer service from 25 miles away, and the ambulance crew had to be called in. It was almost an hour before they got there, and they were far too late to save him. I never wanted to be one of those people standing helplessly waiting for the ambulance, and I took a 110-hour emergency medical technician course. This was the first taste of medicine I'd ever had, and I liked it. But when the course was over, it was simply over, and I went back to work. I was machine sanding a car one day, and I could feel the impact as a pickup truck hit a logging truck head-on at the intersection just outside the body shop. The logging truck was building speed to make a long hill when the crash happened, and the pickup truck had the engine pushed under the seat, and the hood was pushed almost to the windshield. There was a woman inside, and she was covered in blood and laying on her side behind the steering wheel, and she couldn't hold her head up. Broken glass was everywhere, and it was crunching under my knees as I made my way into the cab of the truck. She was moaning and crying, and her voice bubbled through the blood in her mouth, and she kept asking me what happened. I kept talking to her softly, gently brushing the blood and hair out of her eyes. The sounds of traffic and the hissing of the tires of a logging truck slowly gave way to the sirens of the ambulance and a squad car, and I continued to hold her head still. I held her neck steady as the ambulance crew slid the backboard over the broken glass in the seat, and they reached in through the missing windows to lift her onto the hard plastic backboard. They were slipping the cervical collar around her neck, and I could finally slowly release her head and neck. The Velcro straps were going over her arms and legs to secure her onto the board so they could put her into the ambulance. She could only see a little bit of the sheer magnitude of what had happened to her and the destruction the logging truck left behind. She looked back at me and whispered, "Thank you." Something inside me changed as I was kneeling in the blood and the broken glass inside that pickup truck on a hot midsummer day. The cicadas were buzzing incessantly, and a woman I'd never met was looking into my eyes and knowing I was her best bet. At that moment, nothing mattered except us. If you save a life just one time, that single event defines you as a person. I went on to be a professional firefighter and then a paramedic for the city of Virginia, Minnesota, and my experience in the cab of that pickup truck led me there. I loved being on the fire department. and those were and still are my brothers in every sense of the word. Much of what I do now as a doctor was learned in the back of an ambulance or in a ditch kneeling in blood and broken glass. We saved lives again and again and again. The story of how I became a doctor has several beginnings, and maybe the middle part has a few different versions depending on what part of being a doctor I'm thinking about. I don't know how it ends, but I hope it's a long, long time from now. I imagine I'll close my eyes as the cicadas buzz and the sun will be beating down. I'll see the eyes of a woman I've met once before go from fear to calm as I tell her a story to pass the time while we wait.
Dr. Arnie Vainio's essays on life, work, medicine, and spirit are published in News from Indian Country, and you can find the link to this story and more on our website at kumd.org. In the Spirit of Medicine is produced by Dr. Arnie Vainio and Chris Harwood, with music by Keith Sekola, and funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.